Should like to read this evening from the 42nd Psalm, which hopefully should, there we are, up on the screen now, the 42nd Psalm. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I will remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. This is one of those remarkable psalms, isn't it? The psalms, of course, were the collection, if you like, the songbook of the ancient Israelite people. And this is one of those most remarkable songs, hymns of praise, hymns of hope, hymns of praise in our God. And not only in our God, but in my God. In my God who is my Saviour. In my God who is my rock and my Saviour. What an astonishing psalm it is, for it is one of those cries to God. It is one of those cries from the psalmist when he encourages himself, as it were, to dwell again upon the great love of God for him. It's one of those amazing psalms as well that speaks to us in different ways, if you like to put it this way, the language of faith. It's there right at the opening of the psalm, right in the very first verse. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. The very essence of my being. Lord, I long for you. God, I long for your presence in my life. I long to know your presence just now with me. Jesus Christ said, didn't he? Remember, blessed are they, happy, truly happy, are they who hunger and who thirst after righteousness, they who hunger and thirst after God, after God's ways, after God's presence with them, truly happy. Psalmist is saying the same thing. Lord, I long after you. I long after you as I thirst after water. Remarkable words. But then there's the other side of faith. If you've got your Bibles there, it's in the 9th verse. There it is. Remarkable. Why have you forgotten me? tough, isn't it, to understand that sometimes as the language of faith. Yet it is. It isn't expressing, if you like, the certainty that God has forgotten us, not at all. But Lord, just now, O Lord, perhaps I don't feel your closeness with me. Hence, I pant after you. Lord, I long after that closeness of that walk with you again. Lord, why does it seem to me, we might say, that you have forgotten me? Remarkable. And then, see, this. The refrain of the psalm that really I want to ask you to ponder with me in a short while. The refrain of the psalm. It comes back and then back again. And as we move into the 43rd psalm, for those of you who have your Bibles, there it is again. Why? Why am I so downcast? Why my soul? Why is my soul downcast within me? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Remarkable, remarkable the different ways in which faith expresses itself. The psalmist, whoever it was, clearly felt the difficulties of life, the realities of life. It's one of the glories, isn't it, about the scriptures? It is, isn't it? It's one of the wonders about the scriptures. They are rooted in reality. They are rooted in the realities of life. And sometimes, as we all know, life is far from easy. Even the life of faith sometimes can be tough, can be so trying, can be so difficult. And yet the wonder of it, see? The wonder! For the psalmist, not only, if you like, bringing his prayers to God in the way that we have just done in our prayers of intercession, but at the same time, he, as it were, speaks to himself. Why? Why, my soul? Why are you downcast? Why are you disquieted? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. Remarkable. One of the wonders about this psalm, and there are other psalms like it, but one of the wonders about the psalm is that we don't actually know who wrote it. Some psalms that we can turn to, some of these songs of the Israelite faith, we can pretty much identify when they came, when they were said, when they were put into words, who said them, what their experiences were at the time. One of the wonders of this is, who said it? Who was it who put these words down to paper, we might say? Who was it who prayed this great ancient prayer of faith? And what caused them to do it? The title of the psalm, again, those of you who have the Bible in front of you, on the title of the psalm it says that it was written for the sons of Korah. Some people think, therefore, that it was probably one of them who wrote this psalm. The sons of Korah were simply people who led worship back in the ancient times of the Old Testament, back in the old times of the Israelite faith. We might say, like our worship leaders tonight. They were that group of people. They were in charge of leading the praise to God. Some scholars, therefore, think that probably this psalm was actually written by one of them. Perhaps there were some experiences troubling them in their life. Perhaps there were some difficulties that they knew of just at the while. And so they penned these words. Some people think, as we go on into the next psalm, for it follows suit, as we have just said, that indeed it was all one psalm originally, and that the two psalms have then been divided up in order for ease of worship and ease of praise. The truth is, we just don't know. Other people think that possibly it was one of the psalms of David. David, of course, is the one, if you look through the book of Psalms, You will see titled at the top that David was the one who wrote so many of them. Who was David? Well, David, of course, was the great king. The great King David, back in the times of the Israelite people, back in the Old Testament times. It would ring true, wouldn't it? For David went through so many, yes, times of wonderful joy, times of wonderful praise and glory in his God. But he also went through times of great trial, times of great difficulty. I don't want to dwell on this theme, for as I've said, this psalm is a glorious psalm of hope. But it's a psalm of hope rooted in reality. Can I just lead you through a few of the sentiments that this psalmist says? How these words ring true to us, eh? Perhaps as we just contemplate what the psalmist says, perhaps it's quite a good thing that we don't know what led the psalmist to write this. How easy it is when we know the experiences, when we know the circumstances. Oh, that's just his. That's just his particular lot in life. It's not mine. But these words speak true to us, don't they? Sometimes. Hear them. Not only the first verse. Then see the third verse. My tears, says the psalmist, have been my food day and night. While people say to me, where is your God? This psalmist knew sleepless nights. He knew the stress and strain of life that at times keeps us up. My tears have been my lot day and night. The next verse 4. He remembers times that he could look back on when things seemed to be so much better. Yet they were times just for the while of his memory. Where are those times now? Where have they gone? It's as if they are just times of my memory. And I say it again. Just for the while. Just for the while, the times of joy seem to have gone. In that sense, he goes on. As I said, I really don't want to dwell on it, but it's worth just pointing it out, see? In verse 7, trouble seems to come from the deepest places. It seems to spring up. That seems to be what the psalmist is saying. Just when one problem seems to have gone, another one seems to spring up. And he goes on in the 10th verse. Even my very bones seem to ache. And so he goes on. As I said, I don't want to dwell on it. But isn't that right sometimes? Sometimes. Whether it was David's experience, whether it was one of those terrible times when he was chased out of his home, when he was chased even the stories tell us, by his own son, who was so jealous of him. Whether it was David, whether it was somebody else, isn't it right that sometimes our life can be like it ourselves? I don't know what your circumstances are this evening. Whether some of these words speak to you just now. This is a psalm then of great hope. Of great praise, see. The circumstances of life though can sometimes just change. And in a moment things can seem so different. Perhaps we catch a glimpse again of just the people that maybe we are. Maybe we are going on our way, trying to do our very best. And yet suddenly, we catch a glimpse again that we are not the people we should be. and it can haunt us at times. There we are. Look, let's turn the tables. Let's come then at what this psalmist is saying to himself. Despite these troubles, despite these difficulties, he speaks to himself. We've already said it, haven't we? But it's worth saying it again. He speaks to himself. He encourages himself. Why am I downcast? Why am I disquieted? Put my hope in God. Don't know about you. I can certainly say that I am not one of those people who's blessed particularly with the gift of listening to other people. You know, I often think it's a gift, isn't it? I'm all too eager and all too ready to give my own little word of opinion. You know, I'm all too ready, instead of listening to what they have to say to me, instead of listening to what somebody has to say to me about their particular circumstances, maybe their particular problems, I'm one of those who's all too ready to just butt in. Put it the other way round. I'm all too ready sometimes when people have a bright word to me, when people say to me something like, sort yourself out. I want to grab hold of them sometimes and say, I can't. I can't. What do you mean, sort yourself out? But it's right, isn't it? What's the saying? I don't know. I'm useless with these sayings. But a trouble shared is a trouble halved, isn't it? That's the kind of saying. You know what I mean, I'm sure. As I say, I'm appalling with these sayings. But that's the kind of sentiment. It's true, isn't it? When really we listen to other people and we hear what they're saying, what a comfort it can be to them. What a comfort it can be to us when they do the same with us. Come on. Come on. You're not seeing the big picture. You're not seeing the picture as it really is. You're caught up just now in your troubles and in your difficulties, but come on, it's not that bad, really, really, if you see the bigger picture, come on, come on. You know the sort of thing. It's like that, isn't it? Sometimes when we stand, as it were, outside, when we listen to somebody else's problems, we're the outsider, we can give that bigger perspective. Do you see, though? That's just what this psalmist is doing. Not for somebody else, but for himself. For herself. Why? Why am I downcast? Interested listening to Peter talking to us this morning, for those of you who are here. He pointed out that very often in the scriptures, the way in which something is said makes such a difference, doesn't it? Doesn't it? You know, why? Why am I downcast? What is the psalmist doing? Is he asking himself to give some list of all of the reasons why it is that just at the moment he's troubled? Is he anxious to just go through and list them in what? Not at all. He is saying, in a sense, why? Despite my troubles, why am I disquieted? Why am I downcast? Why? Could anything be more silly? Could anything be more daft? Why on earth am I downcast? Why on earth am I disquieted? Please don't get me wrong. I'm not here belittling people's troubles. I'm not here belittling people's difficulties. I'm sure that you have been through your share of difficulties, perhaps right now. Praise God that He is the God who is with us just when we are at our wit's end. But see, this is the language of faith. This is a true expression of faith. What on earth is the problem? Why am I being so daft? Come on, Will Powell. Lift yourself up. See the bigger picture. See the God whom you have put your trust in. And be encouraged. Hope in God. See, that's right, isn't it? Our God. Our God. The writer to the Hebrews, if you want to have a glance in the book of the Hebrews, it is there time and time again, in one sense. If you want to have a look when you get home, have a look. The remarkable, the astonishing wonder of the Christian faith. That God came to this world in Jesus Christ. And he knew difficulties. And he knew troubles. And he knew temptations. And the writer to the Hebrews says, so we know that our God, we know that Jesus, when we come to Jesus, even if we're lost for words, even if we don't know what to say, he knows. He knows, for he has been tempted. He has been tried. He knows. Have you got troubles and difficulties just now? God knows. What a remarkable thought. He sympathizes, says the writer to the Hebrews. Come on. Lift yourself up. Lift yourself up, Will Powell. Be encouraged. I don't want to belittle the wrong ways that at times we take. The Christian way of putting it sometimes, isn't it? That Christian people are sinners forgiven. In Jesus Christ we have the one who came to die upon the cross of Calvary to secure our forgiveness. See, if just now haunted by wrongness, by ways that we have taken wrong turnings, in our God, in Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness and there is the hope of renewal. And so we could go on. See, the psalmist is encouraging himself. My God is so much bigger, is so much more vast. And he understands. Therefore, despite my troubles, I'm going to look to him. One of the verses that I put on the overhead, I'm not used to this sort of a system at all, I have to tell you, but there we are. One of the verses that I asked to be put on the overhead was a word from Paul's letter to Timothy. I wonder if it's, that's it? Yeah, lovely. Is a word there to Timothy. Paul was, of course, if you like, Timothy's father in the faith, we might say. He was the one who looked after him and the one who guided him and the one who encouraged him and the one who simply called upon him to be bold in his faith. It seems that Timothy, one of the early preachers, one of the early ministers in the Christian faith, it seems that Timothy was probably rather a shy, rather a quiet sort of a chap. And yet there it is, see. Paul writes to him and says to him, Timothy, stir up the gift that has been given to you. Stir up the gift of faith. Well, remember, it was my father who told me a story many years ago. He said that he was helping to paint a... actually, it was a chapel building. He was helping to build a chapel. It had been redecorated, and he was helping just to finish off and all the rest of it. And he got out some gloss paint. And he was going to go and paint one of the radiators. So he dipped the brush and started putting it onto the radiators. And all that came out, instead of the white paint, was some sort of brownish sort of And he said to some of the people who were helping him, what's the problem with this? What's the problem with the paint? It isn't the colour it's supposed to be. Look at it, it's some pathetic looking colour. And someone shouted down to him, stir it, Powell, stir it. But that's it, isn't it, see? Let's come at this psalm another way, in the language that Paul says to Timothy. Sometimes there is a place for stirring our faith. Sometimes there is a place for stirring ourselves up again into the glorious hope of whom our God is, into the glorious promises of whom our God is. Stir up the gift of faith that has been given to you, says Paul to Timothy. I well remember hearing on the radio years ago one of the great concert pianists from the last century. He was being interviewed, and the interviewer said to him, tell me, he said, how is it that you are able to go up and perform week after week these wonderful concert performances, seemingly with such endless confidence? How is it? He said, what's the secret? And back came the response. Let me tell you, said the pianist. It was somebody like Alf Brendel, you know. He said, let me tell you. Our musicians would associate with this. Let me tell you, he said. If I don't practice for one day, I notice the difference. If I don't practice for 2 days when I go to do a concert, he said, every other concert pianist in the audience notices. If I don't practice for 3 days, he said, everybody notices. Faith. God gives us the gift of faith that we might practice it, that we might stir it up, that we might exhort and encourage ourselves in the great God who is our glorious hope. Let's just push through the daft illustrations. What's the point, you know, in getting, say, the tomato ketchup and just squirting it straight on the food and getting the vinegar, you know? Shake it. Shake it. Sometimes we have to stir up our faith so that we can let it shine in its true colours. Sometimes we have to shake our faith that it might really glow with all of the true, with the glorious taste that it should have. See? See? Why am I so downcast and so disquieted, says the psalmist to himself. I wonder if we could just return to the original phrase of the psalm, please. Why am I so downcast, says the psalmist. Can we just pull our thoughts together? Can we just notice one or two other things? Hope in God. In the biblical sense, hope is not the sense which so often we think of it. It's not some wishy-washy kind of, well, maybe it'll happen. Maybe it'll be so. Maybe things will be different. It's the glorious certainty based on whom God is. Hope in God. Not because of anything about me. Not because there's anything special about any of us, but because of whom God is, and because of whom our God is in Jesus Christ reaching out to us in love. Wonderful psalm, isn't it? Hope in God. And look, you know this. My God, my Saviour, my rock, mine. Can I ask you this evening, do you know the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour? Pray God that each one of us would know of God's great love to us as it reaches out to us, even despite our troubles, even despite our difficulties, that we, like Timothy, might be bold in our faith, hope in God, my Saviour, my Rock. For I will praise Him. There it is, the psalmist is saying it the same way again, isn't he? He's just putting a different slant on it, we might say. Not, I might. Not perhaps. I shall. I will. I will praise Him again. Because of His glorious love to me. What of your situation then this evening? What of my situation this evening? Are you downcast? Are you feeling troubled? Stresses and strain of work? Put your hope in God. Encourage yourself in the faith again. Be bold in our God, who is faithful to us even when at times we are so unfaithful to Him. Why am I so downcast? Why so disquieted? Put my hope in God, for I shall praise Him, my Saviour and my God.